With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
It's the Lucas Ball Report. It's the Lucas Ball Report. Has he got one ball? Has he got two balls? It's the Lucas Ball Report. No, it's not. Good evening. This is Acton Mill, the real Millwall fan shall accept no substitutes as we talk and we revel in the sheer godliness that is Jake Cooper. Jake Cooper's late equaliser, rescuing a point at Sheffield United for Millwall in a game where, let's be fair, Millwall really could have grabbed all three. Joining me this evening to dissect the events from Bramall Lane is Nick Hart, all right, pal?
Good evening, listeners. Welcome to the show.
Young Mickey Avery.
I found my way out of the storeroom of the club shop.
Good man. He's online now, ladies and gents. He's online. And the sole reason why there is not one wine gum left in the whole of Ukraine is Mr. Harold Warren. All right, pal?
Good evening.
Here he is with a little giggle. Here he is. Gents, let's sort of dwell on some quotes from Jake Sanders and John Kelly. Jake Sanders saying, "Championship relegation battle should come with a health warning, but Millwall are definitely up for the fight and remain on course to reach their desired destination." John Kelly quotes Neil Harris saying, "What we lack as a club in certain qualities and what we can afford will never lack in heart or desire." Hashtag Millwall. Let's dissect those quotes.
Fantastic quotes. It was a great performance, wasn't it? I mean, I was following it on the dodgiest of feeds. It was actually someone filming a TV screen in their living room. This is Millwall. Thank you very much. That was my live feed, and you know, it was like watching the early pictures from the moon, but you get the gist of what was going on. No, it was a great performance, a season defining performance in some ways, because as Neil Harris rightly puts it, I mean, it's been a very patchy season, but as ever, there are Millwall moments, and that was a Millwall moment. That last minute equaliser after the late missed penalty was Millwall through and through, wasn't it? That, if you want one moment, that's the Millwall moment of the season for me.
It was actually such a Millwall moment is when the bloke that you get all your luck in one particular moment, the ref gives you a decision that he should give you. He sends the player off. Elliot's about to score like some thunderous header. You get the referee actually do the right decision, and only a Millwall fan who's been going for a number of years goes, "We're going to fucking miss this." And you knew he was going to miss it, because that's Millwall. No other club gets... I'm sure we've got to be the only club that has this kind of drama, right? I know, but we don't have it in big ways. We have it every week. Like, it's not a bit like Jimmy Glass scoring, the goalkeeper who famously scored to keep his club up and all that. We don't have moments like that. We'll have moments that build up to Millwall falling on their arse at some point and Marshall missing. And you just, and then we have more chances afterwards, and you sit there and you think, oh, it's never going to come. And then the best picture from the days beside the goal is Cooper hurdling the advertising audience and the entire orange clad sort of orange men, railway workers, jumping over to join the code. Dave Martin running the entire length of the pitch. I saw a picture online from a Twitter Millwall fan saying, rest in peace, where he's highlighted himself in the crowd from like the CCTV footage. And as the goal goes in, he exits like Del Boy going through the bar.
Yeah, I saw that. That was so funny.
He just drops like three rows of seats just on the floor, like face first. And, you know, they're the moments that, why you go fucking all the way to Sheffield Carlisle and every, that encapsulates what football's about, really. And Chris Wilder, you know, quite clearly on Quest EFL saying, is that not a fucking foul? Is that not a fucking foul? Is that not a fucking foul? I think he made it very clear that he thought it was a foul.
But those comments, Harry, like sprinkling salt and vinegar on your chips, you know, it makes the basis of the dish so much more flavourful.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that he's, I mean, clearly it was a foul. I think we all can agree on that.
No, I never saw that. That was clear 50-50. It was almost like the two penalties they got earlier on in the season. You know, clear 50-50.
Well, it balances, but wonderful moment. And I mean, I actually weighed up whether to go to Sheffield or I was going to go Leeds rather than Sheffield, which one would, you know, you kind of toss a coin on it. Really sad I didn't get up to Sheffield, though. That was one of those moments that you live for in as a Millwall fan. And
I think as well, with John Kelly's what we lack as a club in certain qualities and what we can afford, we'll never lack in heart or desire, is very similar to, you know, that crap right back you used to play with when you was in the Sunday League, and it would be the end of season most improved player. That's basically what that quote is, isn't it? It's like they're trying.
The term clubman of the year.
Yeah, something that's like
that. So just the one who turned up all the time to training on the hope that he'd get a game. That was me.
Incidentally.
And what we can afford, a right back who doesn't actually know what he's doing half the time, but he's got heart or desire.
Don't you knock the Cafu. What was he called on Jamie Pryor's?
The Caribbean Cafu.
I won Nut Job of the Year twice in a row at university, which is always a very proud moment for me. You know, Nut Job of the Year was generally one of my favourite moments.
Did you have to did you have an acceptance speech for that, mate?
No. They just hurried you on and hurried you off. It was one of those things.
Incidentally, I was expecting you to go a bit like Walnut. Just go, that were for Muscat.
I want to take hats off to both of our Millwall journalists, Jake Sanders and John Kelly. Those are fantastic words, fantastic quotes. And that Neil Harris quote has got a Churchillian quality to it, doesn't it? What we lack in a club is in certain qualities, what we can afford, we'll never lack in heart or desire. It's fantastic stuff.
Don't really want to mention that we'll fight them on the beaches, we'll fight them in the air. No, you don't really want to mention that at Millwall, because some people might take that literally. We'll fight them in the stand, we'll fight them in the streets. We'll fight them with growing strength and confidence in the air. Yes, that's a bit near the mark, Neil.
The togetherness of the players and the travelling support particularly, I think, is, I mean, I think that's what hurt Neil so hard up at Bolton, because the travelling support tends to be the hardest of hard cause, doesn't it, in all senses of the word, because
to travel
these distances, Harry, I mean, you know, to go up to Bolton on a really cold day and see such a miserable performance, and then the criticism that day, I think, really stung, because it was coming from, you know, your own, basically, the same people have gone to Sheffield, largely speaking, and celebrated so fulsomely. So I think that's what really adds to the pleasure of Saturday, because it is this kind of vindication and the togetherness.
You can't knock Coach One. What a great bunch.
Yeah, Coach One. We knocked him last week. We said we've got to get Aaron on there at some point.
With my Nut Job of the Year award, I reckon I'll fit in nicely.
There'll be a few contenders on that coach, mate.
You have to find the most obscure flag from whatever country one of our players plays from, and
Aaron,
take that flag with you like a weirdo.
Yeah, Aaron, you know the fishing trip in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
That's there you go, mate.
I'll bring my Yugoslavian Lions flag.
Yugoslavian Lions.
Bring your Bermondsey Lions flag. Go on.
Yeah, Bermondsey, exactly. Three Lions of Bermondsey, Lewisham Council. Yeah, the The weird thing is, I think you were mentioning the Bolton game. Since the Bolton game, we've been fantastic, haven't we?
Really? Yeah, that was like another seminal moment of the season, because it was a low point, wasn't it? And to go to Bolton and perform so badly, and the result didn't go our way, obviously. And you know, the end of the game, there was you know, abuse and whatnot directed at Neil Harris. I think it was a moment where everyone, you know, was wondering what was going to happen next, and for this squad to find within themselves to pull off these kinds of results since. I don't know how many wins and losses have been like since. Have a quick look since Bolton. So we've only one defeat since, and that was at Leeds. Other than that, it's wins and draws. So for the squad to dig so deep, it's a real tribute to this group of players. Because, I mean, as Neil says, they're not the most gifted or talented, but no. Jesus, that's a squad with bottle, isn't it?
Just looking at the things, you know, obviously we're coming to the business end of the season. Just looking at the table itself, Ipswich, of course, are down. First time since 57, I think it is, Nick, isn't it?
Yeah, 57? It's a long... 3 years before I was born, so I don't remember it, but...
57.
Long time ago.
Just a point. I just want to point this out. Obviously, I take a lot of holidays in Suffolk. That's where my caravan is. And I just want to point out this. It couldn't happen to a nicer fucking football club. They have got a massive... Them and Norwich, as two clubs, have got a jumped up... Because they are the only two clubs. It is like choosing the red car or the blue car. Literally, there is no other choice when it comes to East Anglian football. And the... Well, yeah, I was going to say the word. The nonciness of the Norwich chant of "we're going up, you're going down" is cringeworthy to the extreme. So... yeah, they can go. And the fact they fucking lost to Reading in the week just makes me hate Norwich even more. With Timo Pukki, you fucking weirdo.
back on Ipswich. You know, I know a few people are enjoying the odd tale I'm telling here and there, but you know, one thing I'm definitely going to miss is not the fact that they do probably the best pie in football in the press room, but it's the fact that every single steward at Ipswich Town Football Club is over the age of 60. It's like the Sanatogen Club there, you know. It's like
Saga holidays.
Yeah, Saga holidays. It's like, where do you live? Oh, Manchester. Look, we're going to ship you off to Suffolk. Get in here. Get in at Ipswich. There's one guy at Ipswich Town who works on the press room door. He magically teleports himself here and there. He dishes out team sheets and all that. But his key role is to say two things: point, program, and that's all he does. He just points. He's like, point, program, point, program, point, program. You're like, oh, nice one, man. You're fucking helpful, you are. And I'm going to miss him next season. I am going to miss him next season if I don't.
Also, I'd like to point out they do have the two most strangely noncy mascots, other than the shrimp at Southend in the Football League. The white unicorny and the black horse.
I've got a black one as well.
One and a white one that walk around together, and they seem to enjoy giving it to the away fans.
I'll be honest with you. Portman Road is a creepy ground. Yeah,
it is very
creepy. It's just it's the way the stands are designed. But if you go
in the Ipswich Red Light District.
Is it really?
Is it really? Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's where that bloke picked up.
That's another reason we're disappointed. The
value for money young Mickey Avery was getting in that red light district was unreal.
The saving I would have made from the club shop could have been spent in Ipswich.
Exactly. Now, I really can
offer a meal deal with that as well?
I really can say that Ipswich is in the red light zone. Friends have told me about it. No,
but
I really
it's
can't
next
say that.
To
I
mean the council offices, so we know where all their spending cuts are going. But very quickly, moving on from Ipswich, because we ain't, you know, this is an Ipswich show, you know. Bolton, their
Benjamin Bloom. I have just witnessed
their fate could be sealed.
Yeah.
Good Friday, Bolton Wanderers on 32 points. Apparently, a takeover concerning Lawrence Bassini, former Watford owner, is looks like it's going to be planned through. Although I'll tell you something for free. That guy is a dickhead. Like, they think they got it bad at the moment.
Didn't he get kicked out for being homophobic or something?
Screw it up at Watford for something.
Forget screwed up at Watford. This guy. Let me just give you a brief history of Lawrence Bassini. The guy was made bankrupt, and then like had some, you know, bits and pieces to his name. So he changed one letter in his name, so he got a whole new identity. He changed it from Bossini to Bassini.
Okay.
Anyway, back in the day, when I lived in North London, North West London, I walked in to a news agent, and I had this like old proper rag. I don't know where it was from. I'll tell you where it was from. You know, do you remember Watford? They used to be sponsored by Texaco or Total. You know those petrol stations.
Yeah, they did. Yep.
And you know, you get them free coupons here and there. If you buy 48 litres of Four Star, and you get one, you know, gas mask and a free Watford like sweatshirt. I got a free Total sweatshirt. I've walked into the paper shop, and Geezer's like, "Hey, you Watford fan?" I was like, "No." And he's like, "You know this Lawrence Pessini?" I was like, "No." He goes, "I go, why?" He goes, "He owe me fucking pepper bill, man." I was like, Geezer owed on his papers as well.
Classy.
Nuts. Classy. He got done, and he got pushed out of the club by a couple of lads, the Russo brothers, who are also known as the Salad Boys, because they actually grow cucumbers. That's their business in Watford. They're the Watford cucumber growers, Valley Grown Salads. He got pushed out by them, disappeared, and Watford have gone from strength to strength. But the fact that they're trying to push out Ken Anderson, the fans are desperate. I'll tell you something for free. Lawrence Pessini, mate, you...
He's not the answer. He's not the answer.
This is nothing, Bolton fans. You are up shit creek without a paddle, without a hope, without nothing. You've got a hole in your boat.
So who are we signing from Bolton then? So we'll have
Beavers getting back.
I was looking at that. We actually asked that the other week, didn't we?
I think we're actually not badly off in central. If we can survive and we can acquire Alex Pearce.
Yeah, I think if we keep Pearce, we won't need to strengthen at centre.
No.
We need a left back, we need a right back, we need a centre forward, we need a defensive midfielder, and an attacking midfielder.
So, new striker.
And three goalkeepers.
We've got a striker. It's all right. I basically think we should go and get the Ipswich goalkeeper.
Bartosz Białkowski?
Yeah.
Mate, 100%. I back
class. Absolute class.
Fucking absolute mental keeper. The only thing he's missing is a pair of tracksuit buttons, isn't it?
He's conceded 68 goals this season.
Yeah, have you seen their defence? Have you seen, there was a video going around.
Apart from the 68 goals, he's class.
No, but there was a video going around of their defending. Most of their goals come from inside the 6-yard box. Right. And they're all like tap-ins. They're like literally 34 tap-ins they've conceded this season. It's just, they're shocking. They are...
But the other 32 are his fault.
Yeah,
I don't reckon so. He can't be another Jordan Archer.
Achtung, Millwall.
Anyway, looking ahead to some of the fixtures, Rotherham taking on Swansea, away at Swansea City, who have got, they're in this sort of late surge of form, the Swans. That one will definitely
apart from
one
QPR
to
thumping them forward.
Well, that's an anomaly. We will look past that. They take on Rotherham and Wigan just below Rotherham as well.
Rotherham have been showing a little bit of spine, haven't they? I mean, I think they're limited in their, as Neil Harris has said, we're limited. They're even more limited, but they've been showing some fight late in the season. So I was looking at that fiction. I thought it was quite a tough one to call because Swansea are mid-table going nowhere. So
I think,
you know,
to be honest, as you
Rotherham
said,
need it, don't they?
I think that would have hurt them. They might have been like, even off the pitch at the time that we get the equaliser. Do you know what I mean? Do you remember the year we went down, we had Andy Marshall in goal, we managed to shit out a point away at Watford. I think it was the Sheffield. I think it was under the Tuttle era.
2005.
We managed to get a draw away at Watford. I was there. We saved the penalty in like last 10 minutes or so. And I think we were up against Sheffield Wednesday to stay up at the time. And I think they got a draw as well, even later than we did. And you just know the writing's on the wall at that point. I think mentally, it doesn't matter whatever you do. They're chasing us. So I think as long as we just match Rotherham, they can't get there.
Well, this is why this Brentford game is so huge, Michael, isn't it? I mean, you know, if we can get a win, I know it's not cut and dry, the fat lady's not singing, but if we can get a win on Good Friday, that's a massive step forward because you look at the fixtures there. Rotherham got to go to Swansea. Okay, you know, you can call that either way, but Wigan have got to go to Leeds. So, you know, with three games left, we can put some real distance between us and these teams below us. So it's a massive, massive fixture.
Yeah, but I said that a few weeks ago, didn't I, when we was on, and I said that the Brentford game will be the one that there's no excuse if we don't win, because, you know, they're in a position where they can't go up, they can't go down. They've not got, like you're saying with the Swansea thing, not necessarily anything to play for, but we have to win this game. Also, touching on the point you were saying about with Rotherham, I'm not sure if any of you noticed it as well when we played them at our ground. You talk about the togetherness we had when we was away. They had a lot of togetherness, you know, celebrating that point. It was a 0-0 performance. They didn't really attack. They didn't really do anything. But there just seems to be this connection, and they're the teams that you need to be careful of. You know,
I give it to the manager, Paul Warren. He's someone
who's done fantastic.
He is an absolutely top guy. You know, absolutely lives and breathes the club. And, you know, as I mentioned on last week's show, you know, they had a lot of dead wood, a lot of shit to clear out their squad. And he's successfully done that, and he's trying to mould something. And, you know, I think with Rotherham, it's a case of they maybe are just too good for League One, but they're not quite good enough for the Championship. They're they're hovering in that in-between, in that sort of, in that reduced-to-clear rail, as you would say, young Michael, in that reduced-to-clear rail, just you know, waiting to be picked up as a bargain. Just incidentally looking at Millwall's running. Of course, it's Brentford at the Den on Friday, Villa away on Monday. By the way, can I just advertise, because I know there'll be some officials from Millwall Football Club listening. We're going to go for the curry afternoon/evening part two. If anyone from the club wants to join us, you know where to DM us, and we'll give you the secret location, because last time you copied us, that's fine. We know you wanted to do your own curry, that's fine. Don't be copying us again. We're doing a secret location, aren't we, Nick?
This is going to be the real deal. It's going to be the full Desi stuff. It's not going to be any of your Millwall, you know,
none of that
stuff.
Uncle Ben shite serving.
Real deal, mate. Yeah. Real deal.
This is
Hart,
good.
Birmingham.
This is so, good stuff. Young Mickey Avery's hopefully going to be there. And I'll tell you something. You think he's been running for the past week, mate? He will be shitting fire come, you know, Tuesday morning. Yeah. It will be game over.
There'll be a naan in a secret location with my name on.
Mate, he would have self-cremated himself. What are you on about? That's exactly what's going to happen with young Mickey Avery. Anyway, so Villa, curry evening. If you want to get involved, DM Nick, DM Harry, DM whoever. Millwall Stoke, Saturday the 27th, 1:30 kickoff at the Den. A Tuesday night at the Den as well. You know what as well? The Tuesday night attendances have been not great. That could be such a key game against Bristol City.
Yeah, and again, they've got more interest in it than, you know, I'm hoping we can wrap some points up Friday, and then, well, scratch something out of Aston Villa.
Don't forget, Nick, just very quickly on that point. You know, teams who get into the playoffs, some of them don't want to play each other. No, some of them don't want to play each other. So they lose games, or they rest players so that they move up and down within those four sort of berths, if you like. So, for example, Villa may not want to play West Brom. They can separate them each other. Do you kind of see what I mean?
Yeah.
I've heard of a lot of clubs trying to do that. So you never know. You never actually know.
Well, it'd be nice if we can benefit from some of that. I mean, I think a point at Villa Park would be a fantastic achievement. So anything more than that would be absolutely wonderful. But it'd be nice to be going into those final couple of games, the Stoke game, the Bristol game, you know, with a little bit of water between us and the bottom three. And certainly I don't want to be going to Wigan on the last day of the season at all, unless I have to. And, you know, I'm putting this on the Millwall squad. I don't want to go to Wigan, boys. So, you know, sort it out between now and then. Incidentally, can I issue an apology to the Billy Brentford podcast? Besotted. He actually messaged me the other day and asked me for, ahead of the London Derby on Good Friday, for some light-hearted questions I wanted to pose to Thomas Frank, my initial head of their show for Friday. Now, my initial reaction was, I don't actually know who Thomas Frank was, and I looked him up and saw he was the Brentford manager, and I couldn't think of anything at all serious
or light-hearted
that I wanted to say to him. So I let it kind of die away in the wind. So if Billy's listening, I apologise to you, mate. I just couldn't think of anything at all. I wanted to ask Thomas Frank. I've got no interest in it.
I would have gone for, Thomas, do you have an oversized darts playing lady in your life? If so, why not visit the Millwall Club shop?
Well, one of the downfalls of being a podcast, you get people contacting you, asking you things about their club, and half the time I don't know who they are or what, you know, I know nothing of the background of the club's concerned. So I apologise to any Brentford fans who are really looking forward to the five questions from the Den, but I couldn't think of a thing to ask. Hey ho.
Okay. Are we looking ahead to Villa?
Yeah, it's going to go ahead to Villa. Why not? I think that's as I say, I think if we get anything out of that game, it's going to be a... take a point now, boys. I mean, I think that'd be a great performance if we can get a point at Aston Villa and beat...
Someone kick Jack Grealish really, really hard, please.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, to
I
me,
knew you were going to say that.
Roughly about neck height.
I think he may draw some attention. Just go, yeah. So, spoiler alert.
I really dislike him.
Do you?
He's a really good player.
Why? He's a great player.
He's not.
He's
a good championship. He's a good championship player. I don't understand this idea.
Oh, our level.
Our level.
If Bournemouth forked up £35 million, they'd turn him into a class act. You know that.
Mm.
Bournemouth. Someone
say fucking Bournemouth.
Yeah, because look what they've done.
Don't get me started on the FFP.
Mate, I know you don't like Bournemouth, and I appreciate that they're owned by a secret Russian guy. But what I'm saying is, I know Eddie Howe's a dickhead and all that. He looks like a Lego man. He looks like a jelly baby, etc. Fine. But if you
Eddie
look
Howe
at
the game, thought Josh Wright was a good football player. That
I
is
know,
it.
Mate.
That
I
is
know,
a world leave.
What can you do? If you look at what they've done with David Brooks, who came from the Championship, and he looks an absolute class
act. He's a fantastic player, but he won't be there at Bournemouth next season. That's the
thing. But that's what I'm saying. If Bournemouth could do that again, he'll get a move to a Spurs or something like that, you know? Or
won't Man United buy him?
I'd take him. I think he's class.
He's better than Pogba. By the way,
if anyone wants to part exchange Pogba for Dave Martin, I'd do it.
I don't think... Still, you know what?
Aaron's still bitter after last night's performance.
Do you know what?
How good is Pogba in goal?
I don't think Pogba would actually get on with the Millwall faithful. I just feel
No,
I don't think that would work. I don't want to worry anyone, but I'm just looking at Aston Villa's last five games, are consistent green wins on the BBC table. So
Haven't they won their last eight?
I don't know. They've got five showing on there, but it's five straight wins. So... clearly a decent side. I know I take Aaron's point about Grealish. He might not be a particularly likeable individual, but they're a good team. So I think we'll have to go some to get anything
just
out of
shit
here.
Ben Thompson.
To be fair as well though, when we played them, they was on their knees, weren't they, at the start of the season?
Aaron,
we
are you
beat
checking
them, didn't
into
we?
A hotel?
No.
I can keep hearing a beep in the background. Someone's in Safeway or
at least we're not in Chernobyl this week.
The Wonderwall Cup 2019 will be held at the Den, Bank Holiday Sunday, May the 26th, 2019. Lions legends including Jimmy Carter, Alex Ray and the star of Championship manager Cherno Samba will take on the stars of social media, including the F2 freestylers Bradley Simmons and comedian Man Like Hacks. Why not make it a family day out? £10 entry fee for adults, £6 for the under 16s, and just £3 for the under 12s. The proceeds from the match will be split 50-50 between Childline and the veterans charity SAFA. Tickets are available now at www.millwalltickets.com. www.millwalltickets.com. The Wonderwall Cup, Sunday, May the 26th. 2019. See you there.
Well, I think as with Leeds, though, going to Villa, I think that will raise the Millwall game. I think we perform well at these big venues and against the odd situations. I mean,
I hope
Sheffield United.
I'm buzzing for it.
We were good against Villa last season. That was just before Christmas last season.
0-0.
Yeah. And Dave Martin played and made two or three good saves. And who was in goal for them? Sam Johnson. Yeah, Sam Johnson.
The thing is, with Villa, like Dean Smith's side of Brentford, they will play brilliant football for an hour and then they will just fall asleep. And they fall asleep and then they're like, oh shit, we conceded. And then the whole of Villa Park just gets edgy. So, if Millwall can fight like they did till like last week with Jake Cooper, you're onto a result. You'll get a point or something.
I've got to give Neil Harris some credit though, because Neil Harris changed formation proactively to beat Sheffield United. Even though they went behind, what they were doing was trying to frustrate, stay in the game at 1-0, stay in the game until the last 20 minutes and have a go. And that's exactly what they did. And it worked out perfectly. You know, to go three at the back, you know, three centre-halves, Conor McLaughlin coming in, a man who I called a wage thief, not knowing that he was injured.
Wage thief. That's harsh.
So I take back any previous comments about Conor McLaughlin have been machine.
Not knowing he snapped both his cruciate ligaments. The wage
No. Just call him a wage fee. So any comments about Conor McLaughlin have been rescinded. They have now been passed on to Yuri Skalak, who is now being contracted to spend his summer retiling Harry's bar.
just to dwell on Neil's change of formation. He's speaking on News at Den, and he's talking about systems that he's employed this season, and he's also having a dig at those out there in Twitter land and internet land that have had a little dig at him. I don't mind it. I mean, some people get quite touchy, don't they?
But
there's this hypocrisy. You can dish it out left, right and centre at the game, online, wherever. But no one must ever say anything back to you. I find it quite weird. I think it's a football trait. It's a Millwall trait as well. People don't like it.
It's a snowflake trait.
I don't know. It's a modern thing, isn't it? I don't like it when the digs come back. But anyway, it does make reference to keyboard warriors or something like that.
saying keyboard warriors.
What was that noise there?
He says, my job is to prepare players in a system of play and style of play that suits us and is effective. So certainly on Saturday you can say that. I mean, there's been other occasions this season where not so much, because we've had a couple of runs of defeats that's, you know, probably put us in the position we're in. A couple of runs of four straight defeats, I think, early in the season and more recently. So Saturday, certainly it worked, didn't it? And it's nice to see it working and more of the same in the future. So, yeah, well done, Neil. I don't mind him having a dig back. What about you boys? Do you take
umbrage?
I like it. Harry likes it. Michael, do you take umbrage at it?
No, I do think it needs to be said, because like you were saying, a little while ago, he was getting torrid abuse online, wasn't he? And He took an awful, awful lot, and there were some people that were, you know, calling for his head at one point. And you think, you know, this is the new era. So let's be honest with you. Like over the 3 years prior, you know, beat Premier League clubs, got us promoted, got us to playoffs, got us to within touching. To a point, he arguably was for those 3 years. But you know, I think he's got every right to have a dig. And good luck to him.
I was tuned into watching the live feed on Saturday via Twitter. So it was not quite literally someone's iPhone set up in front of their TV watching the game. And one of the downfalls of I think it's called Periscope. It's a form of live broadcasting, is you get in-game comments, and some of the moronic comments that you get on there, it's a real dark insight into the human soul. You know, I mean, people are putting on there, Millwall are shit. You know, this is not Millwall fans. Oh, we are shit again, I see. You know, and you think, actually, this is, we were 1-0 down, but we're kind of making a comeback into a game that's always going to be difficult. You get no balanced or nuanced kind of comment. It's just, we're either World Cup winners or we're shit. You know, there's no in between. So,
Nick, when was your first Millwall game?
It's not my first Millwall game, but it's the first game I've watched on Twitter, on Periscope.
Yeah. But you've been in crowds, yeah, of Millwall fans, where you get that one bloke that just I'm sure there's Millwall fans that we're like a version of the Samaritans. Mental health charity should link up with Millwall. Because people turn up, I'm sure they're not all, like, they're a sandwich short of a picnic, where basically you can turn up and call anyone whatever you like for 90 minutes and then go home feeling good about yourself.
Go on, you first, Darren. Go on, mate.
I was just going to say, if Cooper's Canisters 698, I think that's they're using them. If they fancy a right fucking good scrap, yeah, Nick Hart will be waiting for you outside the Millwall Cup.
The gold, the traditional venue is the Golden Line. It's not there anymore. But on the,
no, he'll be waiting outside the club shop, won't you?
He'll be there chewing on his Zampa fish waiting for you.
Yeah. I find in a crowd, I mean, yeah, you're right, Harry. I mean, you get morons, you get people saying stupid things, and you get all sorts of stuff being said, but somehow your ears can filter it out. You ignore it. Whereas on the screen, you're kind of watching the game, you get these fucking comments that appear like, you know, same old shit again, I see.
Romeo's a fucking cunt. Yeah.
I spent a large chunk of the game trying to work out how to switch off the comments. I can't look at this moronic stuff, but I wanted to see how the game went. But
there was a geezer who sat near me, and it was the time of Gary Alexander. When we had him, he couldn't stand him. He could not, and I'm going, he's quality, you know. And you know when he had that gold drought when he first started?
Yeah, he had a dry spell.
Yeah, and he was going, oh, shit, we should never have signed him and all that. And do you remember he got that hat-trick against Brighton? didn't he? And he scored that. I think it was the penalty that got the hat trick, weren't it?
Yeah.
At the end of the game, he's gone, I thought he was lucky today. I was like, lucky? He's just scored a fucking hat trick. What are you talking about? And then when Alexander left, a couple of years later, he was like, he was a good player, that Alexander, wasn't he? I went, you're having an absolute laughing. Yeah, I've gone, you've done nothing but slag him off for like 6 years.
It's a dark insight to the human heart.
My personal favourite one of that, there was a bloke who used to sit three rows behind me, and he fucking absolutely loved Paul Huberts. So we're going through that.
Who
absolutely loves Paul Huberts? I mean, who does that?
He was such a weird player.
Hold
on.
Ooh, Paul Huberts.
But
yeah,
he
works,
weren't actually
works.
Called Paul. It was P-O-U-L.
P-O-U-L, yeah. Paul Huberts.
Whatever happened to Paul Huberts?
No. Yeah, that's what I was literally just going to say. The best thing was he went to Northampton afterwards, didn't he? After he spent a year with us. And then he went back to Scandinavia.
Denmark,
Denmark. And on the club that he signed, they went after a successful 2 year spell in England. I was like, what, League One for the worst Millwall side ever, where he played about 10 games and then Northampton. That's a successful spell. You know, Jesus Christ, what was he playing before?
Bump your CV up. We've all done that on an application form in our time. So it's probably that's
like saying you've got a PhD when you've got your puffing swimming badge, though, ain't it? Let's be honest.
Wicked or less.
Puffing swimming badge. How many yard certificate do you have, Nick?
How many certificates?
How many yards?
Well, for swimming. I'm not a very good swimmer, to be absolutely honest. I can do a width. I never developed the ability to swim and breathe at the same time, so it had to be done in one big gulp of air. So no, I'm not the strongest swimmer in the world, I'm afraid.
That's why you expected that to work. You expected to gain gills at some point, or what?
Yeah, well, that's why I only went for the width. I didn't go for the length because I'd run out of air and I'd probably sink and die, and then you wouldn't have a podcast listeners. So, thankfully, I stuck to the widths.
Don't worry, me, Harold, and Michael will carry the good.
You carry on in my memory. In Nick's memory, he tried to do a length for the swimming pool and didn't make it.
He was carried out to sea on a lilo.
The wreck of the Titanic.
See, that could be the debut video on the possible Acton Mill YouTube channel. Nick swimming in Seven Islands, Rotherhithe.
People keep saying to me, oh, you've got to do a channel, but I don't know, really. I don't know if I want to look like a cunt.
You're listening to Achten Millwall.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
I'm going to have to cut that out. That's libelous.
I said allegedly.
What the running downstairs?
I'm going to have to go for the whole show and find that bit and cut that now, mate.
I'm sorry, mate. I do apologise. I couldn't help it.
Anyway, move on. Let's do the player of the season.
Put it this way. Just to add my two penneth onto it, we're going to start the podcast with Edson Millwall. Fuck it, yes,
So the odds are against me doing a YouTube channel, listeners. I'm sorry about that. I think the world's got enough.
You never know, Nick.
God, could you imagine me standing there getting fronted by Dan
with that fucking laugh as well?
So I do it.
Player of the season controversy. Should Millwall fans be able to vote for Ben Thompson? Apparently, we're not being allowed to vote for whoever we like.
Is it Goodwin Stan? He's a cunt. He's part of the people that took over from us, ladies and gentlemen. He's got loads of morals. It's a man that allows a club to be attacked and then attacks the club himself.
We've got various views online because just a little bit of background, apparently we're not being allowed to vote for Ben Thompson as player of the season, though many would like to. I think he's certainly made a huge impact. Whether it's right or proper that he's player of the season is probably the question. I can see why you probably would not want him to be, but I'm not sure you can really restrict it. It's not like we're voting for whether to leave a European Union or something, is it? It's not that important a thing.
If we don't get the result we want, are we allowed to vote, have an argument
and then have a people's vote afterwards as whether
to decide whether or not Ben Thompson was right to have the decision of Ben Thompson or not.
We're only saying we should have the right to say how the award is presented to Ben Thompson.
We've got a few tweets here. We've got Millwall halfway line. So why do we need rules? I think that's an anarchist's argument. Why do we need rules?
Because if not, we end up with them wankers on fucking Waterloo Bridge.
Let the fans say who their player of the season is. Personally, think Thompson getting player of the year will be harsh on Gregory, but you could also say that Alex Pearce has made a massive difference. I think that's fair comment.
True.
Big Will says Shane Ferguson. Player of the season, Shane Ferguson, went through the pain of being frozen out and has come back stronger. Some outstanding games.
Yeah.
He also suggests Jake Cooper for putting himself about. Fearless.
Jake Cooper.
Jed Wallace always gives 100%. I don't think it's been Jed's best season.
I think there's three or four. For effort, I suppose. What is player of the season for? Is it for achievement or is it for effort?
I think it's a combination of a few different things. And I'm just going. I'm voting for him purely because he's unplayable. I'm voting for Fred.
I saw Fred for United last night, Aaron.
He was
unplayable last night. I would have played.
Maybe we can swap the two of them.
That's good. I'll take it. I'll take anything right now.
Tony Thomas says player of the season. It could be based on one magic moment, a player that's led from the front, a player that's worked on the hardest, the most consistent, the most valuable. Yeah, okay. Personally, it's a player I'd put first on the team sheet. So for Tony, at the moment, it's Ben Thompson first. I mean, you wouldn't drop him, that's for sure. Would you?
No, that's right.
And he's, you know, he was on loan at Pompey, but came back. So
yeah, January.
I can see the argument for it being Ben. I mean, he certainly made a massive, massive difference. And
we can play a different way now, can't we?
Key to our survival, potentially. So, yeah, I can see. But anyway, the club are not allowing it, so you can't do it. So that's it.
Fucking Kavanagh.
If you want to debate it at some length, go on Love Sport Radio tomorrow.
Tune into Goodwin Stan, and then make sure you head over to the blue tent in the car park and tell everyone exactly how you feel in a nice, measured Millwall way.
Achtung, Millwall. Achtung, Millwall.
Lee Gregory as well is another name. I think, you know, I know he gets criticised for his finishing, lack of.
Work rate
is immense. And also his passing ability. He's made some fantastic passes up from the front. So, you know, I think there's a number of contenders. I voted Lee Gregory, to be absolutely honest, if in the absence of Ben Thompson.
I haven't voted.
Have you not?
I don't believe in democracy anymore, so I don't vote.
You're going down the authoritarian route. You'd impose it from above then, Harry, wouldn't you?
No, it's just my
who would you impose?
Who would I impose? No, this is a wider question on democracy. it's probably not the show for this. I'd have sort of a top three. I agree with Gregory, I'd agree with Thompson, and I'd agree with Cooper. And kind of the reason that I'd agree with Cooper is that I think Cooper has been there for every game. Went for a difficult start to the season with Hutch and has come up with some really key goals. You know, he scored the winner against, scored against Everton, didn't he, with his hand. He's becoming a bit of a shithouse. I quite like him. It's just, and he seems to be growing as a, as a person as well.
He's a figure. I agree.
He's
an absolute, hunk of a man as well.
Just to close the rule.
It's a bit weird, Aaron, you keep saying in the background.
rules of the vote. Ed Castle mentions when Christian Daly of West Ham got a couple of votes a few seasons ago for being player of the season. So I think he scored own goals for Charlton and for West Ham, didn't he?
Yeah, in the Mother's Day Massacre. So,
nice.
But I mean, you will get odd results like that. But I think I
personally, for manager of the season, would have voted for Avram Grant the year he took West Ham down. Avram Grant, one of the nicest people I've ever met when I worked in a certain shop that used to be called St. Michael's. And he came in looking for white socks. And I went up and found him some white socks. I said, I'll go and find them for you as long as you have a picture with me. So I've got a picture of me and Avram Grant. And I said, you're one of my football idols. He said, why is that? And I said, because you relegated West Ham. He didn't look impressed.
No shit.
Achtung, Mehlball.
I just want to mention a really nice evening event that the club's organised. I want to say well done for organising the evening with the 1988 promotion.
It's the end of season Christmas too.
Oh, £99 for that. I can't get past the £99, but this is much better. An evening with the promotion winning team, now listed, and let's hope that Teddy shows up.
Judas
Teddy Gunn. Sheringham, Les Riley, Jimmy Carter, Cascarino's got a bit wobbly in recent years, Keith Stevens and more set to be present. But £30 a ticket, that's more like it. That's the kind
how
of
much?
Price. £30, that's quality. £99 for the end of season do.
How much percentage does Teddy get out of that turning up for the 88 do?
Teddy Sheringham was a wonderful, wonderful player, and he stayed with Millwall when we got relegated in 1990-91, scored a club record haul of goals. He'd done his time with the club. I know that he's gone off to other clubs. What was that team that he won? Team that won the European Cup that
2004. He decided to sign for West Ham United over Millwall. Listen to the difference. Tim Cahill decided to sign for Millwall to finish his career. Teddy Sheringham had that opportunity. He chose to go to the cunts down the road. That is why Neil Harris is a better, more better messiah. I've had the argument with my old man, who is of a certain vintage, and I do not care.
Anyone that lived to be fair to Teddy Sheringham,
Nick, in his defence, this has been an evening with he supported as a child. He's always followed an evening with the Lions.
He also supported Man United as a boy, didn't he?
He supported an evening AFC with Colchester.
Even though they weren't formed at the time.
When Mill got relegated from the top flight back to Division 2, as it was then, he stayed with us and we got very close to getting promoted. His goals almost single-handedly got us back into the top flight.
But they didn't.
The best player I've ever seen in the Millwall shirt.
I, for one, won't be there. When they get a proper Millwall legend on there. You know, I'm talking in the elite league of
Daniel Gessen. We're missing Daniel Gessen.
Matthias Ranigi. Get a bit of pasta going on there.
I'll tell you what. An evening with Daniel Gessen and Barry Powell. There we go.
There's a fucking name. A buffet will be available. A disco and pay bar facilities. And Brian Hall is hosting, and younger kids out there think of Brian Hall as this fat bloke they meet at the ground. Was a fantastic goalkeeper. Great goalkeeper. Absolutely great goalkeeper.
You probably don't know who I am, to be fair, so I can't really...
Can we swiftly move on to the retail section of this show, please?
Oh, yeah. We haven't got our list this week. We normally get a little prelim.
It's a surprise, isn't it? Because he's gone online.
He's gone on the old eBay, is she?
I have to say, lads. The world of eBay is a strange place for Millwall memorabilia. I think it is generally. Yeah, I've never found so many rare badges in my life than in the first two pages of Millwall eBay. So basically, I thought I'd start with a nice Dockers Day medal from the second division champ. It's listed the Millwall memorabilia Dockers Day medal, second division, 2001. Oh, sorry, 2001.
Dockers Day didn't exist then. Who's done that?
No, exactly. There you go. Exactly. I'm not calling the people of eBay liars. I would have been
around 11 or 12 years of age at this time, and I can't personally remember. The Dockers Day in 2001,
it was either a bloody good guess or someone had a premonition.
So Dockers Day started when Peter was found on the ball. Something like that, recently, yeah. So that's a made-up medal. And they put that together.
Either that or it's a misprint.
It could be,
but to be fair to them, charlatans. Their delivery date's a lot sooner than the club shops.
And the key word is it in stock?
It is in stock at £26.
£26 for a fake medal.
I'm not joking. This thing looks like something you can get from Decathlon at Surrey Quays.
There's a geezer who walks around like the little village I live in, like, and he's got like fake war medals on there. I might buy it for him.
Now, I'll tell you,
swiftly moving on. This was an item, Aaron, that when you asked, is there any dog coats, was the one.
I'm ready.
So how long would you say is a good ruler?
Are we talking a steel ruler, a plastic ruler, or a wooden ruler?
I'll tell you what, for the sake of the item, let's say wooden.
12 inches of Zampa, I'd go.
Foot long
Zampa.
Are we talking metric or centimetres or inches? Or are we going metric?
Whatever Leave voted for.
We're going post-Brexit Imperial.
Imperial. 1 yard.
A peck.
A yard. You need a yard-long ruler.
A perch.
Well, what if I tell you that you could get a vintage Millwall Football Club memorabilia 3-foot ruler?
A 3-foot ruler?
What did they use that for? To mark out the lines?
Is it a folding half? Like an actual woodwork type wooden ruler?
In the photo, it makes the skirting board in the background look like a tic-tac. This thing is huge. It is like a fucking diving board. And I'll tell you what, for £4.99, it's free collection in person.
Where from?
I don't know. I'm not going around his ass if he's having this.
He's been
waiting for you.
Oh, it's horrific.
What's he been measuring with a 3-foot ruler?
Honestly, Aaron, I'm not joking. It is absolutely enormous.
Maybe the club shop should buy it as they're going to get some bigger Zampas and bigger Berliners.
Achtung, Milbein.
You know how people call the Millwall Club Shop out of date for having an iPhone 6 case.
Such
as myself and everyone else.
And an iPad 2 case with 90% off.
That's their business model. Yeah.
Well, for £1, you can get a Millwall official merchandise catalogue, 1996 to 1997.
Oh, they're selling that. Nice. The club shop brochure from the 96-7 season.
Yes, okay. and on the front we've got, it looks like Mark Bertram, Dave Savage.
They
and
used to have Theo's family members doing the modelling, didn't they? They'd like his, might be his daughter or his niece or something would be
course,
the model for.
Of course, why would Theo's Perfetus pay anyone what they were worth? Where's the 8 million gone, Theo? Where's the 8 million? It's all on that table in front of you at Dragon's Den.
Was that the Weather in Norwegian season? It might have been, mightn't it? When we had the live TV.
From my former employer.
No. 96, no. 97 would have been Captain Morgan's South London Press, wouldn't it?
South London Press. I bet it's quite an interesting read. I haven't seen it.
I'll tell you what, Nick. I'll get it for you.
Is that before or after the club shop as it is now was going to be a McDonald's? Is that before or after?
No, we were sold that when we made the move from Coldblow Lane, that we're going to have all the major fast food eateries on the concourse.
We ended up with a Millwall calf.
Yeah,
the
New York City.
To be fair, he does a good hot dog, young Sid. I'll give him that.
Yeah, he's good.
Anyway, young Mickey, anything else?
And I'll tell you what, this will be my last one from my search of eBay. So Nick and co. What do you remember from the 2001-2002 season?
Well, that'd be Claridge and Sadlier, the playoffs, the riot.
The riot. I remember the riot. Yeah, yeah.
Great
Silwood
season.
Silwood Street looking like a fucking armed battleground, circum sort of 1890.
Yeah,
cavalry charges.
Yeah. It was a bit like the opening scene of Gladiator after the game, wasn't it? Yeah.
Looking like one of those places that Aaron's champ manager places goes on pre-season.
Great season.
Downtown Bosnia.
Yeah.
There we are.
Great Stern John in the last minute.
So yes, yeah. Those are my memories.
What really sums up this season more than somebody on eBay selling a pre-season friendly programme of Millwall versus Welling United away?
Welling United? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's the programme was originally £1.
Mm.
However, it's yours for the bargain price of £2.99 plus 100 quid, yeah. £2.99 plus 125 postage.
That'll be
any signatures on that? Any signatures?
Surprisingly, no. However, it does have a 30-day return, so you could read it within 30 days and send it back.
That's a shout.
Chris,
I'm buying it.
Did they ever... So, some of the names on the back there. Christoph Kinney, Stuart Nethercott.
Great names. Great season.
Yep.
Stephen Reid, Paul Eiffel.
Yep.
There was one of Christoph...
Peter Sweeney.
Charlie Sweeney. Willie Garay.
Charlie Hearn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Leon Charlie Constantine.
Yeah. Oh, they're nice.
Ronnie Ball.
Yeah. Yeah. He was up in Yeovil, didn't he? Ronnie Ball.
What was his name?
Leke Odunsi.
Leke Okudusi, yeah.
Leon Constantine.
Yep.
Yeah, there we go. Kevin Braniff. Worst player ever wore a Millwall shirt.
Yes.
Robbie Ryan.
He's gone down since then.
Robbie Ryan.
Reliable Robbie.
Great names.
Ryan Green.
Was he in the squad that year? Let's have a quick look. Ronnie Ball. Do you remember Ronnie Ball?
I do remember Ronnie Ball.
Forgotten Ryan.
And,
I
remember and Luke Chad Harper.
Chad Harper.
Can't remember Chad Harper. I can remember Luke Chadwick.
Yeah.
Yes.
We had Nick Chadwick at Millwall. We couldn't afford Luke, so we got Nick.
Great.
He scored against West Ham, didn't he, in the 4-1.
Yes, he did, yeah. Good finish as well, to be fair.
Should we have the pre though?
For what game?
Millwall v Brentford.
Oh, are we gonna announce the Wonderwall Cup?
Oh, yeah, well. Yeah. So Acton Mill is delighted to be bringing you lovely listeners commentary. I don't know if it'll be live commentary or if it'll be recorded. We're not actually sure yet, but you will be getting some form of coverage for what this year's Wonderwall Cup. It'll be myself, it'll be young Harold Warren, and it will be young Mickey Avery. Nick Hart is not here.
Well, I'm unavailable. I'll be in the Isle of Wight, listeners, so I'm sorry about that, but you'll have to make do without me.
He's going on the Ipswich Town St. and Saga training day. He's popped off down there for a 3-day recce.
Well, basically, this is why Michael's been practicing bye for now for the last, 6 to 8 weeks. It's so he can get it right on the day. He's just been using this as sort of an audition, a very X Factor slash sort of what's the other one on Teddy? Britain's Got Talent.
It's a great course.
Jesus Christ Superstar.
We always run a little advert for it during the course of the programmes that we do. It's a great course. I really hope a lot of people turn out for the Wonderwall Cup. I think it's a really fantastic idea.
I saw a video the other day, Tamara San offering out the F2 boys. So
yeah, I mean, it's got to be worth
it. Could get tasty.
Excellent.
All we need is Danny Dyer and Frank Harper to turn up, and we've got the original Football Factory cars.
Score predictions, then. I'm going to go with Millwall 2, Brentford 0. Millwall 1, Aston Villa 1, Millwall 1.
I'm going to go Millwall 1, Brentford 0. Millwall 0, Villa 0.
Okay, I'm going to go Millwall 0, Brentford 2. Ooh. And I'm going to go Millwall 1, Aston Villa 0.
Ooh, the complete opposite.
Because that's Millwall. Such a Millwall way of doing that.
Very Millwall choice.
I am going Millwall 1, Brentford 0, and Aston Villa 0, Millwall 1.
Oh, we like that. We like that prediction.
The double 1-0. The double 1-0.
That'd be lovely if that happened. I mean, we'd all breathe. That it's supposed to be a roast in Easter, isn't it? So I'd like to warn all Millwall fans now in the East Lower, or whatever it's being called this week, that shorts are all well and good, but remember to bring your sunglasses because you won't be able to see our long ball fucking style as that low sun gets lower and lower to blind you on a...
Also,
make sure they're fucking clean for fuck's sake. Oh, Jesus, man. Also, last week's Carlsberg stains all over them.
Also, lads, any style guide worth its name would always say get a bit of curly at your legs before you put your shorts on, you know?
Okay.
So a few salmon pink legs will be arriving.
Fantastic stuff.
Anyway, gents, I'm going to call time on this week's Achtung Millwall. I think it's been another wonderful show. By the way, if you want to get involved, you wonderful listeners out there, do us a favour. Send us some questions during the week. Nick can collate them, and we can have a bit of a listeners' questions edition.
Interaction.
A bit of interaction.
It's the Real Millwall fan show. It's your fan show. Get involved.
Social intercourse.
Don't fucking call the other mob on a Friday night. They're cunts. All right? There you go. That's why you listen to me, really. It's for my balanced Millwall views.
I'll tell you what, I'm
no one, forget nothing. What was it that used to be a saying, didn't it?
I'm gonna
chuck one last thing in. I'm gonna start setting a random question of the week. So this week's random question to you listeners out there and to you gents is, what's your favourite Easter egg? There you go.
We'll come back on that one.
Come back on that one for next week. Which leads me to say, young Mickey, you know what to do.
Bye for now.
Let them come. We're only here to beat them, again. It's the best team in London. No, the best team of all. Everybody knows us. We're called Millwall.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.